First attention is everything we are as average men, he continued. By virtue of such an absolute rule over our lives, the first attention is the most valuable asset that the average man has. Perhaps it is even our only asset. Taking into account its true value, the new seers started a rigorous examination of the first attention through seeing. Their findings molded their total outlook and the outlook of all their descendants, even though most of them do not understand what those seers really saw. He emphatically warned me that the conclusions of the new seers' rigorous examination had very little to do with reason or rationality, because in order to examine and explain the first attention, one must see it. Only seers can do that. But to examine what seers see in the first attention is essential. It allows the first attention the only opportunity it will ever have to realize its own workings. In terms of what seers see, the first attention is the glow of awareness developed to an ultra shine, he continued. But it is a glow fixed on the surface of the cocoon, so to speak. It is a glow that covers the known. The second attention, on the other hand, is a more complex and specialized state of the glow of awareness. It has to do with the unknown. It comes about when unused emanations inside man's cocoon are utilized. The reason I call the second attention specialized is that in order to utilize those unused emanations, one needs uncommon, elaborate tactics that require supreme discipline and concentration. He said that he had told me before, when he was teaching me the art of dreaming, that the concentration needed to be aware that one is having a dream is the forerunner of the second attention. That concentration is a form of consciousness that is not in the same category as the consciousness needed to deal with the daily world. He said that the second attention is also called the left side awareness, and it is the vastest field that one can imagine, so vast, in fact, that it seems limitless. I wouldn't stray into it for anything in this world, he went on. It is a quagmire so complex and bizarre that sober seers go into it only under the strictest conditions. The great difficulty is that the entrance into the second attention is utterly easy and its lure nearly irresistible. He said that the old seers, being the masters of awareness, applied their expertise to their own glows of awareness and made them expand to inconceivable limits. They actually aimed at lighting up all the emanations inside their cocoons, one band at a time. They succeeded, but oddly enough, the accomplishment of lighting up one band at a time was instrumental in their becoming imprisoned in the quagmire of the second attention. The new seers corrected that error, he continued, and let the mastery of awareness develop to its natural end, which is to extend the glow of awareness beyond the bounds of the luminous cocoon in one single stroke. The third attention is attained when the glow of awareness turns into the fire from within, a glow that kindles not one band at a time, but all the ego's emanations inside man's cocoon. Don Juan expressed his awe for the new seer's deliberate effort to attain the third attention while they are alive and conscious of their individuality. He did not consider it worthwhile to discuss the random cases of men and other sentient beings who enter into the unknown and the unknowable without being aware of it. He referred to this as the eagle's gift. He asserted that for the new seers to enter into the third attention is also a gift, but it has a different meaning. It is more like a reward for an attainment. He added that at the moment of dying, all human beings enter into the unknowable, and some of them do attain the third attention, but altogether too briefly, and only to purify the food for the ego. The supreme accomplishment of human beings, he said, is to attain that level of attention while retaining the life force, without becoming a disembodied awareness moving like a flicker of light up to the eagle's beak to be devoured. While listening to Don Juan's explanation, I had again completely lost sight of everything that surrounded me. Genaro apparently had gotten up and left us and was nowhere in sight. Strangely, I found myself crouching on the rock, with Don Juan squatting by me, holding me down by gently pushing on my shoulders. I reclined on the rock and closed my eyes. There was a soft breeze blowing from the west.
"Don't fall asleep," Don Juan said. "Not for any reason should you fall asleep on this rock."
I sat up. Don Juan was staring at me.
"Just relax," he went on. "Let the internal dialogue die out."
All my concentration was involved in following what he was saying when I got a jolt of fright.